Good morning, Rabotai. Welcome back to Breakfast in the Class. Breakfast in the Class today is dedicated in loving memory of Michel Golbari's beloved grandfather, L'ilu Nishmat Yitzhak Ben Hanom Meir, from Michel Golbari. Also dedicated for the continued health of and complete refuah shlema of Chana Bat Zimafega and Eliyahu Shimon Mazal Fortuneh. The Kobru is dedicated and sponsored by David Yash in honor of you and your substantial capacity to go today and every day. And of course, all the classes this week are donated and sponsored by our silver donors for the Torah Center, the Roshan Zamirs. Hazaku Baruch Mehayel El Hayel. Let's begin, my friends. In the night of the Seder, we go through a lot of different things when we need to read about the Magid. Magid is the portion in the Haggadah that discusses all the various things that happened in Egypt. It tells us about the Makot, it tells us about when you do the Haggadah, the Korban Pesach, staying up all night, blah, blah, blah. Everything that you want to talk about at the Seder, where does it feature? It features in Magid, correct? Okay. Now, what I found, you know, really interesting is that when you finish Magid, what happens? Roch tzah, motzi matzah, right? Maror, right? Korech, right? You have all the various elements of the Seder, but in the talking part, what is the talking part? The talking part is all found in Magid. Now, let me explain to you. I think you're wondering why I'm sharing this to you. The very end of Magid, the last part of Magid, we have a very interesting statement. We say, after we finish talking about all the things that a person needs to do, and in fact that a person is obligated, b'chol dor v'ador, chayav adam la'ot et atzmo, a person must see himself as if he, ki'ilu hu yatza Mitzrayim, as if he left Egypt, she'ne'emar, like it says, v'garta le'bincha b'yom ahu, you'll say to your son on this day. The Haggadah then continues and says, "Lefikach anachnu hayavim lehodot lehalel leshabayach lefa'er leromim leader ulkales." Therefore, we have to thank, we have to praise, Lord, glorify, exalt, honor, and extol He who made all of these miracles. He took us out from slavery to freedom. Mishibud legeula. From mourning to a holiday, from darkness to light, we'll say in front of him, hallelujah. And then we start to shift to hallel. So let's just, I want to take a drone shot with you. And then we end with the beracha of Ga'al Yisrael. Now I just want to take a drone shot. So one more time. The whole of Magid is telling all the story of Egypt. We say the matzah that we eat is for this reason. The maror that we eat is for this reason. Everything that we need to say. And then we end off by saying, therefore, lefikach, anachu chayavim leodot, we have to give you all sorts of different types of praise and exalting and lauding and etc., etc. It's many different expressions of thanks and praise and reverence and whatever else is there. Lefikach, because of this. What does because of this mean? When you're about to say, when you've just said all of Magid, what is this referring to? So you might think it refers to the thing that comes right before it. Lefika chayavim, right? Might come before, right? The thing right before it. However, I think a deeper understanding is that the Haggadah is teaching us that everything, all of Magid, from the beginning until now, every part of it, the matzah, the maror that we eat for this reason, to remember the freedom, the maror that we eat to remember the slavery. What is the purpose in all of that? Lefikach anachnu chayavim leodot. My friends, I want to share something that I think is quite an interesting observation. And then I want to share with you a knockout Ben Ish Chai. You know, most of us, we think about the night of the Seder, and we think about these words, therefore we have to praise. The way we relate to it is quite straightforward. God did all of this for us, therefore we have to praise him for it. That's how normally people relate to this concept. But actually, if you look in the Pesukim, you'll notice that the Pesukim tell us a radically different story. The verses tell us that God put us in Egypt. He took us out of Egypt. For what? In order that you say to your children, Et asher talati Mitzrayim, how I played with the Egyptians. In order that Paro should know, and the Egyptians and the Jews should know, that there's no one like me, Bekerev Haaretz, amongst the whole earth. God's purpose, it's not that God did us a favor and then we say thank you. God's purpose in taking us out of Egypt was for us to say thank you, was for us to recognize him. But go take it one step further. It's not just that God's purpose in saving us was for that reason. God's purpose in enslaving us was for that reason. So if you want to understand, what does it mean? Lefikach, therefore, we need to thank, recognize, laud, extol, etc., glorify, honor. What's lefikach going back on? Not the wapit that comes before it. The whole Magid. In fact, the whole story of Egypt is lefikach anachnu chayavim. Now, my friends, I want to try and explain what this means. Because to me, I think most people completely miss the boat. Let's take a look 1 second at what the Haggadah tells us after we say, Lefikach anachnu chayavim leodot. We read, Hallelujah, Hallelu avde amonai, Hallelu etshem amonai. We read, Betzet Yisrael Mitzrayim. So thank God, praise God, all the servants of God. We read B'tzet Yisrael Mitzrayim that God took the Jewish people out of Egypt. And then we say the special blessing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that God took us out from Egypt and we want to thank him for that thing. Al ge'ulatenu, for our ge'ula, ve'al pedut nafshenu, and for the redemption of our souls. My friends, those words, Al Ge'ulatenu, Al Pedut Nafshenu, and for the redemption of our souls, is what we need to understand is jumping out of the Haggadah at us. God didn't save us from Egypt. He put us through Egypt. God put us through Egypt for one reason. For Pedut Nafshenu. Not Ge'ulatenu. Not our redemption. There's an easier way for God to redeem us. You know what it is? Not to send us there in the first place. God, if you want to praise Hashem, you know what? I'd rather praise him to not put me there. This is reflected in the Amidah as well. In the Amidah, we use 3 expressions. Melech, God is a king. Ozer, Umoshia, Umagen. He helps, he saves, and he shields. And all the Sfarim want to know, what are these 3 descriptions of God? God as a helper, God as a savior, and God as a shield. What are these 3 descriptions? And now Chachamim explained to us something very profound. When you ask someone for help, what are you saying? Could you help me lift this? You're saying, I'm going to lift, and you're going to lift. You're going to help me lift it. Imagine I ask you, could you help me lift up this table and bring it upstairs? And then you come up and you lift the other side and I say, I'll see you later. You got it? You didn't ask me to do that. You asked me to help you. What would you do? You'd walk away, right? Ozer means we're asking God, or perhaps more accurately, in that part of the Amidah, we're praising God for being a helper. Where we do some, and he does some. Sometimes, you know, we got something going, you know, but we have, you know, we need a little bit of help. The second level is Melech Ozer Moshia. He saves. Saves is, it's not that I have a business with a cash flow problem. I have cash flow with a business problem. I have no business. My business is not working. Nothing that if I can't ask anyone for help with this, someone needs to come in and save the whole thing. Moshiach means where I recognize that I am powerless in this situation, and Hashem, you need to run the whole show. I can do nothing. There's no hishtadlut for me to do, for me to try here. I'm done. I'm out. God, this is your show now. Okay? The third level is not when God helps you or when God saves you, but when God is a magen, He is a shield. He doesn't let the problem even get to you. So in our story, God saved the Jews from Egypt. But what would have been easier for the Jews, perhaps, one might argue, is not to have Hashem's help getting out, not to have Hashem save us by bringing down Makot where we do nothing. But God could have shielded us completely from it. Right? But did Hashem do that? No, He didn't. So what's going on? Let me make this even worse. Baruch atah Amonai, we say in the end of that bracha in Amidah, Magen Avraham. Blessed are you, Hashem, the shield of Avraham. So out of the three terminologies, Ozer, help, Savior, Magen, which one did we go with at the end of the bracha? Magen Avraham. In fact, the Gemara says that that's what it means when we say, Hashem says to Avraham Avinu, Becha Chotmin. In you will they end. Because it starts with all three and then it ends with Magen Avraham, the protector, the shield of Avraham. That's a strange language, Magen Avraham. And let me tell you why. When the Jewish people go down to Egypt, the reason why they go down to Egypt is because Avraham asked the question. What did Avraham ask? He said, how will I know that my children, my grandchildren will inherit Eretz Israel? You made me a promise. I believe you that you'll give it to me. But how do I know that my children, that my grandchildren will inherit the land of Israel? Hashem says you should know your children are going to go down to a foreign land. They're going to enslave them for 400 years. And then they will leave with a great wealth, with a great treasure. Berchush gadol. My friends, so it seems like Avram's question was, how will I know that they will deserve this inheritance? God says, I got you. I'm going to make sure that your children will deserve Eretz Israel. You know how I'm going to do that? I'm going to send them to Egypt. Are you starting to understand? Now, does that word now apply in your mind? Magen Avraham, the shield of Avraham. Right? What did we experience? Were we shielded or were we saved? We were saved. Right? But it says in the Beracha, Magen Avraham. The answer, my friends, is so powerful. There's two types of shield that a person can experience. One type of shield is when the person is protected from all sorrow, all challenge, all difficulty. That is a horrible life. We need challenges. We need difficulties. You have some people that they're so weak, they can't deal with any challenge. So what happens? You have to constantly shield them. Let's say you have a person who has no immune system because of the drugs that they're taking. That person, anything will kill them. A common cold will kill them. The flu will kill them. COVID will kill them. Anything will kill them. So what happens to that person? They put them in a plastic room. The doctors have sleeves where they put their hands into the room to tend to the patient because they can't even go in with a hazmat suit. Right? And the person is being shielded completely. But they have no life. They're safe. They have no life. There's no enjoyment. There's no growth. You can't build a relationship, a family, a business, a hobby, nothing. Magen Avraham does not mean Hashem says, I'm going to shield your children from everything. Magen Avraham means I will protect the Avraham in them. Says the Chidushe Harim, in every Jewish person, there is the DNA of Avraham. There's an Avraham waiting to be able to burst forward, burst forth from the person. A person who's not afraid of anything. A person who's not afraid of acting alone. A person who doesn't need anybody else's help. All of that is Avraham. He's called Avraham the Ivri, the Hebrew, because he stands on one side of the river and the whole world stands on the other side of the river. Avraham stands strong alone. That's what Avraham is. God says to Avraham Avinu, you worried your children won't be like you, they won't deserve Israel. I got you. I'm going to teach them what it means to be self-sufficient, to not need anybody, to be completely self-reliant. And what did God do? He stripped from them in Egypt every comfort, everything that a person might lean on. Every person was fighting for their life, fighting for their family, fighting for food. And from the beginning of Am Yisrael as a nation, they learned these concepts. They learned this behavior in Mitzrayim. God is not saying, Magen Avraham, Avraham, I'll protect them from everything. God is saying, I will protect you in them, Avraham. So what do you want to understand happened in Egypt? Not just the redemption, but the slavery itself. Not just the good times, but the terrible times they experienced there. You know what happened? We thank Hashem al ge'ulatenu, on our redemption, but much more profoundly, v'al pidut nafshenu, for the saving of our souls. My friends, sometimes I think that a lot of people that you meet in this world today could use a little time in Egypt. Pidut nafshenu. The redemption of a person's soul. What is that? What do those words mean to you? Just kind of roll them around a little bit. Because that's what it says we're thanking Hashem for. Right? All of this. How do we end? Right? Node lecha, we will thank you, Shir Chadash, with a new song for our redemption and for the salvation, the deliverance of our souls. Baruch atah Amonai, blessed are you Hashem, Ga'al Yisrael. Everyone reads this and they think it means God redeemed the Jewish people, took them out of Egypt, Ga'al Yisrael. I think it's saying something much more profound. What it's telling you is, you know what God did? Blessed are you, O God, Ga'al, you saved the Yisrael in us. You maintained the Yisrael in us. They went to Egypt, and even though their forefathers were Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, in a matter of a few short years, they lost their identity. They lost their way. They lost the mitzvot. My friends, that is the Redeemer of Yisrael. Yisrael refers to the Jew that fights back. Kisarita im Elokim ve'adam v'tuchal. For you were able to fight with man and with godlike powers and still come out on top. That's what Ga'al Yisrael means. I want to share with you a knockout Ben Ishchai. This is down for the count. This is TKO level, but with one KO. Right? There should be another name for that, by the way. All right. Says the Ben Ishchai in Orach Chaim, he says as follows. Bechol dor v'ador, in every generation, chayav adam leharot et atzmo, every generation, every year, every seder, a person has an obligation, leharot et atzmo, let's translate it together, how everyone translates it, and then we'll see the Ben Ishchai. They have to see, leharot et atzmo, they have to see themselves, ki'ilu hu yatza mitzrayim, as if he left Egypt. Okay? You got to see yourself as if you left Egypt. Says the Ben Ishchai, I got some commas for you on the house. He reads it differently. In every generation, Chayav Adam Le'ra'ot Et Atzmo. A person has to see themselves. Comma. Or perhaps even period. In every generation, you know what the mission is? To see yourself. To understand your Atzmo. Who is you? Right? What is this power that you have, that you are? And you know how you realize the power that you have? I can promise you one thing. It's not when you're eating buttered flavored popcorn watching your jam. That's not when you see your power. It's not when you're in a lounge chair sitting by the pool. That's not when you see your power. You see your power when you are tested to the limits of your capability. And let me share. If God tested you to hear, but you can handle to hear, if you pass with flying colors here, we still have not seen your power. Says the Haggadah, in every generation, a person is obligated to see themselves. Le'ra'ot et atzmo. And you know how a person does that? They pay attention, they contemplate. Ki'ilu hu yatza b'mitzray. Not as if, it's interesting, because you'd imagine, if it's talking to everybody, it would tell us, anachnu, like it says in the next chapter, lefikach anachnu chayavim. What does anachnu mean? We. It doesn't say, lefikach ani chayav, therefore I am obligated. So let's go back one chapter. If this, in the second chapter, in the second paragraph, it says, we, plural, therefore we, how would you say in the chapter before, in every generation, we are obligated to see ourselves? How would you say that in Hebrew? Bechol dor vador, chayavim anachnu, leharot et atzmenu, ki'ilu yatzanu mimitzrayim. We are obligated to see ourselves as if we left Egypt. And that's not what the Haggadah tells us. It says you have to see your own self. And you know how you see yourself? Ki'ilu hu yatza mimitzrayim. As if the only person that left Egypt was me. That God decided to rain fire and brimstone from the sky to upend every law of nature. For who? For me. Ask not for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. When a person looks at their life that way, now God took all the Jews out of Egypt. But you know what? Lots of Jews never actually made it out. So when God took all the Jews out of Egypt, and this is how most people think, oh, this is not something that I have. Like, you know, let's say a person is not the richest guy in the community. Regular guy. You know how lucky you have to be to just be regular in our community? Do you know how much money you need to be making to just be eking out a living in our community? The average, I would even say the bottom portion of our community is in the top, maybe not the top 1% of the world, but in the top 10% of the world for sure. Now, it's true, we have a lot of expenses, but that's a choice that we're making. You don't have to have those expenses. You know how lucky you are? But we don't feel lucky, you know why? Because we look at other people around us who have more, and we think, well, I'm not a rich guy, I'm not a popular guy, more popular guys. I'm not a smart guy, just smarter guys, right? That's how we, as human beings, that's how we relate to ourselves. So the get out of jail free card is, I don't have to do anything. You know why? God took all the Jews out of Egypt. But that's not true. A huge portion of Jews died in Egypt, in Mitzrayim. They died during the Makkah of Choshech. My friends, you know what that means? That means that if you left Egypt, You were chosen. Most people think of the idea of chosen beginning at Har Sinai. But really, already before we left Egypt, there were Jews that did not want to leave. There were Jews that could not get out of the slave mentality. They wanted to stay there. Hashem said, you want to stay there? Okay, you can stay there. And they did. And they died in Makav Choshech. Chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael. 4/5 of the Jewish people. Right? That's what it says. You, if you were saved, then there's a reason why it happened to you. You know, if you were there for 210 years, God took you out. He didn't take your father out. So ask yourself, if you're trying to figure out who is Atzmo, why would God have done this for me? For what was I saved? Why did God do everything like this? He must want something. He must expect something. He must believe that I have something that's worthwhile to contribute. Says the Ben Ish Chai, in every generation, a person, individual, has to understand their own power. And how do you understand your power? You understand your power when you realize, Ki'ilu hu yatza Mitzrayim. When a person learns to think this way, then it changes their perspective on all of the way they view life. My friends, I want to end with one last piece. And with that, we'll conclude today. I think to myself, after I saw this Ben Ish Chai, I wonder if the Ben Ish Chai also meant this. We turn back in the Haggadah and we read about how there are four sons that need to be spoken to. The Chacham, what does he say? Mahayedot. So you answer him the Halachot. Rasha, he says, what is this work for you? Not for you, not for me. Since he took himself out, Kafar B'Ikar, he's not involved. So you also have to speak harshly there. Ba'avur zeh asa Hashem li b'Mitzrayim. This is why Hashem did for me, li b'lo lo, ilai Hashem l'ilai ha'nega. My friends, I wonder if this answer is what the Ben Ish Chai is referring to. What do we tell the Rasha? The Rasha says, I have no interest in doing the work of Judaism. What is all this difficult work that you have to do? The Korban, the Seder, the Masa, the Maror. You know how hard it is to get your system to digest matzah? Have to go through all this? What is this worth, right? What's going on? I always say, archaeologists keep thinking they're finding fossils. That's not fossils. It's undigested matzah. Either way, says the Pasuk, says the Haggadah, you don't want to be part of this, right? You kafar bikar, you denied your apikores. So what do we tell him? We tell him, ba'avur zeh, the pasuk says, for this, asa amonai li b'seti Mitzrayim, did God do for me when I left Egypt? Li, says the Haggadah, ve'lo lo, for me and not for you. Ilu hayasham, if you would have been in Egypt, lo hayanig'al. This that the Ben Ish Chai is telling us, as if you left Egypt, is what we're telling the Rasha. If you had been there with this attitude, you'd never have come out. You know why? Because you don't want a part in this. Hashem did it. He did it for me. We're reinforcing this idea of the Ben Ish Chai, that to leave Egypt means to have been chosen, and to have been chosen for a purpose. But my friends, I saw something even deeper than, according to the Ben Ish Chai, in the answer to the Rasha. The answer is, Ulefi shehotzi et atzmo min hakelal. What did the Ben Ish Chai said? Laharot et atzmo. The job is to see yourself, your power, your energy, your purpose, your skills, your talents. Let's look now at the Rasha. The Rasha says, what is all this work? It's too hard. Why does he think it's too hard, this Rasha? Because he doesn't believe that he's got the capacity to be able to succeed, to be able to stand up to the challenges of Judaism. He doesn't think he could not work on Shabbat. He doesn't think he could just say no to NK, to non-kosher. He doesn't think he's the type of person that could be satisfied and have a faithful, beautiful relationship in a marriage, in a family. He doesn't think he's the type of person that could stop himself from ripping somebody off Because he has the opportunity. He doesn't believe in Atzmo. Ulefishe otzit Atzmo min akilal. He took the power that he has, his unbelievable, undeveloped potential, and he took it out of the kilal, he took it out of the community, he took it out of his story, out of the general perspective that he has on his life. So what do you think he's going to be other than a rasha? And it gave me this aha moment. How many rishaim are people who just don't have the self-confidence to be sadiqim? Who just don't have the self-belief to understand that they could, if they wanted to, beat all these nisyonot, be a better person. They would conquer the Yetzer Hara on all these things. But the Rasha says, Ma ha'avoda azot lachem. This work, it's very hard. What are you guys doing? He doesn't even try. You know why? Because he cannot see himself as a person that was capable. So what do we tell this person? Afata hakechinav. You knock him, you punch him in the mouth. What does it mean, hakechinav? What are you saying? I love this idea. Ready? You knock out his teeth and you tell him. It doesn't mean that you physically punch him. It means that you knock out the teeth. What is the Rasha saying here? What is the bite of the Rasha? You tell him, ba'avur zeh asamun ay li v'tzeti Mitzrayim. Not ba'avur zeh, not because I'm doing the mitzvah. That's not how we're translating it according to the Benishchai. This thing that you feel, that you don't believe that you have, it was for the potential in me that God took me out of Egypt. What was I when I left Egypt? Think for a second. What do we know about the Jews that left Egypt? Was any of them a tzaddik? Not one. So what do? You take the bite out of the Rasha. The Rasha says, what is all this work? I can't deal with it. It's too much. It's too hard. You tell this person, are you kidding me? When I was you, God took me out of Egypt. Ba'avur zeh, for this potential, did God take me out? He believed in me. And therefore he took me out. And you know what? When I left Egypt, I got the Torah, I became that person. Leave lo, me, for me, and not for him. Who's velo lo? And normally everyone translates it. For me, and not for you, for the Rasha. But if you're talking to him, why don't you say, li velo lecha? Ready for this? You're not talking to the Rasha. It's li, you're telling the Rasha, God took me out of Egypt for li, for me, for the me that I am right now. Velo lo. And not for that guy that I was back there. V'ilu haya sham, lo haya nigal. If that was the person that God saw coming out of Egypt, if this, the person that he saw then, was the person I am now, if that's what God would have seen, he wouldn't have bothered taking me out. But if he took me out, what does that mean? He believes in me. Rasha, he believes in you. I was, we all were, where you are now. But there's a potential. There's a power. There's an atzmo that if you believed in, you'd be able to do and achieve incredible things. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen ve'amen. Rabbi Chananya ben Akasha omer.